In this episode, I share a question from a student, and of course my answer, about her riding position. It's not so much about what is the correct position, and it's more about how to approach improving it in the context of training your horse. So how do you train your horse when you know you have things that you need to improve in your own position? So here we go, episode 185, Q&A about rider position. Hey, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses, our horses will show up for us. So let's get started. So this episode is part of a Q&A that I recently did inside the Sweet Spot course. So in the Sweet Spot course, we do weekly live Q&A calls and discussions with all the students. Super fun. The Sweet Spot course is my most highly supported program. So anyway, we did this Q&A, and I thought, you know, her question was about something that we all have to think about, which is once we have the awareness about our own faults or crookednesses or weaknesses with respect to our own position, how can we move on with our training of our horse, knowing that we are, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, not good enough. So yeah, conscious incompetence is a really humbling stage to be in. So we have to think about, you know, how does this knowledge and awareness of what we're not yet good enough at, how do we actually practically apply that or move on past that or through that in real life? So I thought that this was such a practical discussion and such a real discussion that can help so many people. So I decided to pluck it out and share it here also. So I hope you find this valuable.
I'm still formulating the question in my head while I'm talking.
That's okay. Yeah, just start talking. We'll figure it out.
So I've been on a riding holiday last week with my best friend, which was really great. And I also took lessons there. And the focus of the lesson was really my seat. So how do I sit? And she actually pointed towards some kind of crookedness in my body, which I kind of knew, but she really was really good at like pinpointing, say, okay, you really have to focus on that and that. And now I'm back, and like during the Sweet Spot course, there is of course one module with the seat and everything. Anyhow, I was really focusing a lot on the horse, and he's progressing, and everything's nice. But now when I'm back, I'm like kind of in doubt if I should, you know, step back and focus more on myself, because I kind of feel like, well, I'm not good enough to lead him to the next steps, dude. I guess that's normal kind of, but I'm a bit in doubt. Like, okay, if I'm sitting so crooked, how he will ever understand lateral work if I'm like, you know.
Oh, I totally understand your question. And I'm sure I see some nodding and smiling, and not everybody has their video on, but I know there's people nodding and going, oh yeah, I can relate. So, I mean, there's always these layers. And I think it's really about bouncing your attention, right? So all of the things are valid. And yeah, to put full focus on your own body, I mean, that could even involve like going to physical therapy or Pilates class privately, you know, I mean, go down that rabbit hole. This is excellent. The same way, you know, you could go on a body work mission with your horse and just do postural rehabilitation with your horse on the ground through body work and stuff. Like, you could, there's so many, like, once you see a piece and you go, oh, there's a piece there, it, you know, often we'll get obsessed and go, well, I gotta get that piece. And how can I do anything else if I don't get that piece? So the thing is, though, I think in reality with horses, there's a way to kind of blend, right? So we're making this soup, and we can put a little salt, and then we can go chop some other things and then put them in there, and we can kind of layer it in. And then that's the sort of game for each individual horse and rider, like what's going to be that magic recipe. But the thing that's cool is like to think about good enough, right? So that's sort of my first threshold. Like, am I so crooked that I'm actively damaging my horse because of the way I'm riding? Like, that would be a time when I go, I'm going to stop riding. I'm going to go do, a month of physical therapy and start over from scratch. And just at the walk, always in front of a mirror with somebody watching me. And I'm going to rebuild myself because it's so in the way. And there might be cases like that. It's like, I am so crooked, that my horse is feeling back pain and they never pick up the other lead. Like, that would be red flags of going, let's start over. So there's that. Then there's a range of like, I'm good enough. And if I improve it, it'll make it better. But it's still in the range of nobody's perfect. We're all, doing that. So, and then there's the level of perfection where, you can, you are so good in your position that you can sit on any horse and instantly their posture transforms just for you sitting on them. And that can happen. Right. So most of us are in this middle ground where we say, is it fair, reasonable, and possible for me to continue going? However, like in that mode, there might be, if you put, a certain number of days a week, a supreme focus onto it, and then come back and add it into your normal riding, what can really be cool is that you make a change. That change makes your horse change. And that makes it easier for you to sit more aligned, which now makes it easier for him to sit aligned. So there's often this case where a little shift can actually start to really help everything. And you don't have to completely remove yourself. I mean, what better biofeedback than a horse, right? So, but you can definitely go on what I call it, a quest. Like, I'm going to go on a quest of my alignment or my position or whatever it is. And then I can still ride my horse, but I'm more conscious. Like, I'm going to ride without stirrups. I'm going to do these certain exercises that they did. I'm going to do these exercises away from the horse to try to turn on and engage the correct muscles. I'm going to do a little deeper dive and see what else I can do about that. Then I'm going to do like a lot at the walk, and I'm going to really work on precision both directions to make sure. Like, so you can still keep going, just keep going differently with that focus. And yeah, so it's like, yes, and.
Yes, but it helps. It was kind of what I was coming to today, while I was still thinking about that. But it was really because we now starting with lateral work, and there it's especially
Oh,
important
yeah.
that you sit right, right? So it's really like, should I maybe just put that at rest for a while and focus on something else
Well, yeah, it could
to
be
make it
cool
easier for
because.
him?
Yeah, and you could do sort of a baseline. Okay, where are we now with things? Which direction is it easier to leg yield? What do I do when I, and what's easy for your horse? What's easy for you? And what's hard? And kind of take stock. And then you can start saying, okay, I'm going to really think, what was it about my position? I'm going to really think about these things. That's going to be my warm up. And you might do that for a while, however you think is most effective. And then when you're feeling good about that, go, oh, let me try that lateral work again. And then you can notice like, oh, the leg yield left was easier, or that was much easier to do the shoulder in left today. So then it can, you can, because then you're doing it function based more than pretty picture based, right? So again, the horses are the best biofeedback. And I mean, my body is really asymmetrical, like a lot. And horses are, that they have really given me my biofeedback, and so I go to physical therapy, I do my exercises, I give them body work, and then we meet in the middle and we do our best. And I ride a lot bareback for exactly that reason. Bareback for me, or you can just do no stirrups. I mean, gravity is a great teacher. So, but
Super.
I love
Thank
that you
you.
have that new awareness of it, because there are so many factors, and you could pull out any one factor of your riding, of anybody's riding, and go so deep into it. So you just have to decide how you and your horse could possibly blend it together, and where you need to go deeper. And often the nice thing about body work is you have your body with you even without your horse. So if you can learn, like for me, I learn where is my crookedness, what do I think is the origin of it, and how do I stretch the appropriate muscles and strengthen the appropriate muscles for my particular body so I can do what I need to do more easily. And that takes. Hey everyone, a quick message to let you know about a really exciting limited time opportunity for learning at no extra cost. So now you've heard me rave about the video classroom. It's my video training library, and it's where you go to see this podcast in action with videos on pretty much everything that I teach. But for May, June, and July, we are going to be doing extra monthly live Q&A calls, and anyone who's in the classroom gets to attend at no extra cost. We've never offered this before, so it's a pretty cool opportunity. So this is such a great time to be able to speak with a real person, to get your questions answered, either about a particular video that you watched or a challenge that you're having with your horse. Now, the video classroom, I think, is always the best deal. And for May, June, and July, it is going to be amazing. So go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom and start your subscription today. There's always a 1 week free trial to check it out. Again, dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now back to the pod. For me, it takes a trained professional with their eyes on me, but it's worth it, once a week to just check.
What really helped me was riding different horse, because I was thinking that I wouldn't say that my horse was the problem, but because we're learning together, I was thinking that he had difficulties understanding me. But funny enough, I had the same problems on the other horse. So I really thought, well, the problem is sitting in the saddle. I think we should start there. So that was really good for me, because I was always thinking maybe he doesn't understand me, and well, which is true, but I looked at the wrong end of the problem, I think.
No, and it gets complicated because I'll ride multiple horses a day, and I have the one thing, it's like, oh, this is showing up on all my horses. The first one is like, why isn't he turning to the left so easily? And then the second one, well, why isn't he turning to the left? I'm like, oh, me. But I also find
Exactly.
like some horses, I will slide, if their crookedness feeds into my crookedness, like, oh, what a mess. But some horses, their crookedness actually counters mine, so but riding other horses can definitely help help you understand that.
It was a big aha moment for me. Thank you, Karen.
No, you're welcome. And then in the moment, I think I talk about this in the video in the course, you can bounce your attention. You could go, I am going to go over here without my horse and just focus on this, and then I'm going to ride. And then, but then it can be so, you ride your horse, you think about your horse, or maybe you start thinking about yourself as you're walking out to the place you're going to ride. You think about yourself, and then you think about your horse, and then you think about yourself, and then you think about your horse. And those moments might be, 15-minute blocks of time or three strides, right? Check him, check me, check him, check me. But it's really hard to focus on everything all at once. So I love that you're getting really specific, and how you blend that is what's interesting. So thanks for the question. I'm sure nobody else can relate to this. Or everybody. Okay, so that was my sort of off-the-cuff answer to that question where I'm thinking and talking at the same time. So I thought I'd just take a minute now to kind of summarize and tidy up that answer. So the first step is just to decide whether or not you're in that middle category of good enough. Most of us are not perfect, and we have to figure out if we're good enough to kind of muck around with this. You know, sometimes we're not. Sometimes there is a huge red flag that is actively, you know, at worst causing damage or pain, but causing things to not work, right? The way your position is actively preventing them from moving well enough, like picking up both leads or whatever it might be. Okay, so first determine if you're good enough, and that category of good enough is wider than most people think. Yes, there's always going to be a way we can find fault with ourselves and feel like we're not good enough for our horses, but we have to just think consciously, are we good enough? Could it be that we're good enough? Could it be that this is possible, that it's fair, reasonable, and possible for my horse to do what I'm asking with me as a rider as I am now? Okay, so then I think the next step is to take stock, to assess, you know, kind of write down if you need to, what's working, what's not, where and how is this problem showing up? How is your position affecting the horse? And this is going to be important so that you can start to measure your results, right? There's always going to be something to improve with your position, but if you take a moment to assess and write some stuff down, then you're going to be more able to notice precisely with evidence when things start to work. Because really, bottom line is we want a functional position, not just a pretty one. And part of that assessment that this person experienced is if you can ride other horses. Sometimes we get stuck in a groove or a rut with our own horses, and riding a different horse can give so much good information. All right, so then the next stage is you want to go deep. All right, now you see the problem. Now you see what's going on. Go deep into it. For example, for me, I go to PT. I have to do a lot of very conscious exercise to keep my body functionally symmetrical and, you know, pain-free. So you have to figure out what that is for you. And going deep does not necessarily mean you have to stop all riding until you perfect that exercise or that change that you want to do. Just take some time to allow yourself to go deep, whether that's going to a class once or twice a week, or just taking literally 1 minute to check in with yourself before you get on your horse. Okay, that going deep then will continue, and as you bring that back into your actual in real life time with your horse, the timing of it will change. So you're going to start alternating and bouncing your attention. So that can look like bouncing your attention from getting in your car and driving to a Pilates class with a private instructor for personalized exercise program, and then bouncing by driving back to your horse and riding and focusing on your horse. And by bouncing back and forth, everything is still going in. The stuff that you did in your Pilates class, for example, is in your body, even if when you're with your horse, you're not actually thinking that you're practicing it. So it might start with that. Then there might be some very specific adjustments that you make when you're on your horse, and then that bouncing will look like you get on your horse and you do a nice free walk around before you go into the arena, and during that 5, 10, 15 minute free walk, your horse is just loosening up all by himself, and you are focusing on your position and doing whatever specific exercises. And then once that period is done, you now leave that alone and you bounce your attention to your horse for the warm-up. So you think just about your horse to make sure that they warm up. then you might take a little break after the warm-up and think again about your position, and then think about your horse. So that's what I mean by bouncing your attention. Eventually, that can turn into a stride by stride sort of thing, where you're think about your position, prepare for a transition, do the transition, think about your horse is awesome. Two strides later, you can be thinking about your own position. Oh, move that shoulder back, then think about your horse. And we bounce our attention back and forth. And that's what I teach in the Sweet Spot course. And it's just really helpful. Try this at home. You will see the difference between trying to perfect your horse while perfecting yourself all at the same time. Then try to just literally bounce your attention. Make one adjustment to yourself. Leave it alone. Think about your horse. Check in. Adjust something if you need to adjust it. When you're happy with that, think about your position again. And that's where you start to get the snowball in a good direction, or what I call the upward spiral of success. Now, I just want to add, because this, I answered this question in the context of the Sweet Spot course, and the basis of the Sweet Spot protocol, which applies to humans as well as it applies to horses, is that precision of the horse's body, precision of your own body, precision comes out of the possibilities that playfulness creates. So we start not by trying to achieve the perfect shape in our own body, because we don't do that with the horses, but we play with being able to consciously make adjustments however we want, one body part at a time, in a playful, free kind of way. Now that you know what you can move on all the different parts and you're able to do it, you can experiment and then get more and more precise along the way. So we have to start with a basis of playing with the possibilities. And then, yes, we also need to get very, very precise. But so many times when I see people thinking about improving their position, it goes to tightness and brace so quickly. And then the horses brace, and then the riders think, oh, I just must not be perfect enough. And they tighten up their position even more. And that's the down the drain kind of cycle. Anyway, I hope that you guys found that helpful, and it's something you can go out next time you're riding your horse and immediately give that a try. Let me know how it goes. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email, or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.